Okay. So, beginning this morning, a new adventure, the Rambam's introduction to his own work, to the Yom Chazak, the Mishnah Torah. And what we're going to try and do this morning is try and focus on the Rambam's introduction to his introduction to his own book. But just to try and put a perspective of what the Mishnah Torah is, what the introduction to the Mishnah Torah is, and what exactly the purpose, the importance of having the Sefer, and what the role, the objective of the introduction is in terms of introducing the Sefer, in terms of putting the Sefer into perspective. And the introduction is not just, you know, like an introduction of a book that we have today where, you know, you have to thank your editor and thank your wife and, you know, talk about all of the special things that happened in writing the book. It's the introduction, the Rambam, is not just, you know, is not just a formality. It's really framing what Mishnah Torah is about there. And so as we'll go through the introduction here, we'll see that if we read it very superficially, it seems like a quasi-historical summary of Masorah or Torah or something like that. And in that framework, if you look at it that way, it seems to be somewhat, you know, loosely related to the topic of Mishnah Torah. But as we'll see, as we'll hope to see, the idea of the introduction is actually a much more focused topic and a much more significant topic, in which the Rambam is framing a very, very certain body of knowledge and describing in a very well-defined way how Torah is defined into its different components. I wanted to just throw out a little bit of a I don't want to call it a disclaimer, but just to bring up that we were discussing for the past 2+ years the Yud Gimel Ikrim, much more of a philosophical kind of abstract work. And the ideas of you know, Hashkafa and philosophy. The introduction to the Yad is a much different kind of work. It's the topics that we're going to be addressing are often going to be much more of a technical nature. It's much more about the nature of Torah, and it's much more related to halacha. There's not much, you know, halacha in terms of what's the bottom line of halacha, but it's a lot of meta halacha, a lot of the nature of halacha. And so I just wanted to and at the beginning, at the onset, just put out there that this is going to be a very different kind of limud, a very different kind of discussion than the learning that we were doing the past couple of years. I also just wanted, as an introduction to what we're doing now, that there is a Sefer written by Rabbi Eliezer Lachman, the Rosh Kollel of the Friedman Kollel in Olney. It was commissioned by Rav Yaakov Weinberg. Rav Yaakov Weinberg asked Rabbi Lachman to write a Sefer of Rav Yaakov Weinberg's Torah. And the Sefer, so there's a Sefer called Me'oros HaRambam, is the first volume, is written on the Hakdama to Mishnah Torah, on what we're learning. And I'm not going to be bringing in, you know, photocopies of the Sefer, but we are going to be very heavily based off of that Sefer, is what I'm going to often be working with. I'm not confining myself to that, but that is going to be a lot of the basis for these discussions. So that being said, so we have in front of us, and also I'm not always going to bring photocopies. This week it worked out when we were doing the Yud Gimel Ikrim. There is a lot more sources and point in the discussion to see. It's not always going to be as heavily based in you know, a lot of different Rambams and things like that. When relevant, I will continue to bring source sheets, but it won't always be that way. All right. Although I probably will always be bringing at least a copy of the relevant portion of the Hakdama, of the introduction to the Yad that we're doing. Okay, so the Rambam, at the very start of his introduction, has a headline. The introduction here, B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam, says, Az lo evosh b'habiti el kol mitzoseha. Says Pasuk from Tehillim, that then I will not be embarrassed in my looking at all of your mitzvos. So we're not going to get into to all of the context of the pasuk, but the Rambam is laying out here that there is an idea in Torah of kol mitzvosecha. We have an idea of all of the mitzvos. And the Rambam, in the very first line here, just read the very next thing the Rambam says, kol mitzvos shenisna lo lamosh b'sinai v'peirusha nisnu. All of the mitzvos that were given to Moshe at Har Sinai were given with their explanation. Shenamar v'ethna l'cha es luchos ha'evin v'atorah v'amitzvah. Torah zu Torah shebichsav. So I will give you the luchos evin, that's the Seres Dibros, v'hatorah, Torah is the Torah shebichsav, v'hamitzvah ze perusha, and the mitzvah, that's the explanation. V'tzivanu lasos haTorah al pi haMitzvah, we were commanded to do the Torah according to the mitzvah. U'mitzvah zu hi hanikreis Torah shebal peh, and that mitzvah is what we call Torah shebal peh. So we'll bring it back to going through that little paragraph a little bit more focusedly. But the Rambam here explains that the idea of the mitzvah is the peirush, the explanation of the Torah shebichsav, which is the Torah shebal peh. And says the Rambam that az lo evosh b'habiti el kol mitzvosecha. The Rambam seems to be laying out, there's this idea of having before you and looking at kol mitzvosecha, all the mitzvah, and then goes on immediately to explain that the mitzvah is the commentary to the Torah. The mitzvah is the pirush of the Torah shebichsav. So the Rambam right away is laying out that the, as an introduction to the sefer that he is writing here, the Mishnah Torah, that we have in front of us the idea of the Mishnah Torah, the idea of the Yad HaChazaka, is that this is meant to encompass all of Torah Shebaal Peh. That we have this one sefer, that when I have this, when the Mishnah Torah is sitting in front of you, so now I have the entirety of Torah Shebaal Peh sitting in front of me. I have kol mitzvosecha, I have all of the mitzvah, all of Torah Shebaal Peh sitting in front of me when I have the Sefer Hayad, when I have the Rambam's Mishnah Torah. And that's the goal of the Rambam. And the Rambam writes this explicitly towards the end of the introduction. The Rambam writes pretty straightforward that that now you'll have the Chumash, and you'll have my Sefer, and then you'll have all of the Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. And you won't need anything between. Right? And that's what the Rambam writes. So,
controversial statement.
Well, so it's a very controversial statement by those who do not understand what the Rambam means, and we'll try to get into that now. And the first question is that the concept of having all of Torah Shebaal Peh seems to be a somewhat inherently impossible concept, because we have it's a well-known idea. It's well sourced in Medrash and in Chazal and throughout the Perushim, that there's two psukim that it's really centered around. A pasuk in Iyuv which says Aruch me eretz mida v'rachav mina yam. Is it that that discussing the Torah there? It says that it is wider than the measure of the land. I'm sorry, longer than the measure of the land and wider than the sea, and that the Torah is, you know, beyond any measure. And the pasuk says in Tehillim, in Parak Kuf Yud Tes of Tehillim, pasuk says lakol kates ra'isi tichla. I'm sorry, lakol tichla ra'isi kates. Lakol tichla ra'isi kates. Rabba Ma'od Mitzvosecha, something, I don't remember exactly the end of the pasuk, but basically says that for everything that I've seen, that there's a limit and an end and a boundary, but your mitzvos are exceedingly vast, right? And the commentaries that explain, the Gemara that seems interpreted this way, that saying that everything looks like saw a boundary, but the mitzvos are beyond the boundary. There's no limit. There's no kates, there's no end to the scope of the mitzvos. And the reason for that is because Torah Shebichtav, alright, you have Torah Shebichtav, it's written down, there it is, but the Torah Shebaal Peh, or the Torah Shelo Nitan L'Hikasev, the unwritten portion of the Torah, is always growing and expanding and unlimited. Every case that comes up is another addition to the Torah, to the unwritten portion of the Torah, and every discussion when you're coming up with the svara, with the logic, understanding a new understanding of a concept in halacha or in hashkafa or in agadata or in any of these things, these are all part of it's unlimited scope of Torah Shebichtav. I mean, of Torah Shebaal Peh. So where is there room for something called, I have here all of Torah Shebaal Peh? How can you have something called the end of Torah Shebaal Peh? And the Rambam also, like Corey was making reference to, the Rambam seeming to say that you just need the Chumash in my book and then you'll be set. And you don't need Shas, like, and now you could just, you know, put the Shas on the shelf and you're done with it. I wrote my book and now there's no longer a need for anything else. So the Rambam really mean to say that you know, now that he came along, you know, Ravina and Rashi, they came along with the Talmud Bavli, still needed some work after that, but now I came along and now you're all set to go. Like, what is that supposed to mean? What exactly is going on? What is the Rambam feel he has accomplished with the writing of the Mishnah Torah that is going to be a replacement for the, or is going to be alleviate the, or obviate the need for anything else? In what context is that statement made? There's one more question which we're going to get back to at the end, which is that the Rambam here, and the one of the advantages of the Mishnah Torah, and that includes the introduction to the Mishnah Torah, as opposed to almost everything else the Rambam wrote, is that the Rambam wrote this in Hebrew. Almost everything else the Rambam wrote, he wrote in Arabic, and we are dealing with translations and different manuscripts and different translations and different versions, whatever it is, and you have the original translations which were done by, you know, people who didn't necessarily speak Arabic, and then you have centuries later translations done by people who might be, you know, more scholarly in Arabic but are not necessarily as familiar with the Rambam and his thought process, and a whole mavocha, a whole confusion about, you know, what's the best the way to get what the Rambam was trying to say. But here in Mishnah Torah, the Rambam himself wrote this in the Hebrew, and we have the original Hebrew. So in the Rambam's, so the advantage of Mishnah Torah over anything else in the Rambam's writing, everything that he wrote, we can assume that he was very careful about what he wrote. But when it comes to Mishnah Torah, there's not what we can look at Mishnah Torah with extreme precision, and we can read it and say that there's nothing which is a svas. Yes, there's not just extra words here which were, you know, somehow got slipped in and, you know, translation or whatever it is. Everything is written very carefully. That's the Rambam's rule. is that the Rambam was very careful about the Rambam himself writes about the importance of being very succinct. So the Rambam we expect to not have any extra language. The Rambam writes here in this first paragraph that we just read, he writes, Torah zu Torah shebichtav. The Torah in the pasuk is referring to the Torah shebichtav. U'mitzvah zu perusha. The mitzvah is the explanation. V'tzivanu lasos haTorah al pi haMitzvah. We were commanded to do the Torah according to the mitzvah. Now that second line there, tzivanu lasos haTorah al pi haMitzvah, seems to be accurate. Is there anyone in the right mind who would think, knowing that we have the mitzvah, which is the perush of the Torah, that you should do the Torah any other way other than according to the way in which God himself explained it? Right?
Plenty of people who decided not to do that.
But those people...
It's probably this is a reaction to them.
Those people, though, will not say, yeah, this is God's explanation of the Torah, but we don't care. Those people will say, no, this isn't God's real explanation. Once the Rambam has told you that this explanation is the explanation that God himself gave, if you accept that, then obviously that this is how you'll do that you'll keep the Torah. Is there anyone who would say, yeah, this is the explanation that God gave for the Torah, but I'd prefer my own explanation? You know, God probably didn't get it as well as I do, so I'll do it my way, not God's way. You'll have people, and we do have people, who say, no, that's not God's explanation. I reject the validity of, you know, our Mesorah, and I think that, you know, I'm supposed to explain it however I explain it, and therefore I'm going to do it the way, do it or not do it, according to, you know, whatever I think. But if you're going to say, this is the Perush, God gave this explanation, then it goes without saying. So you'll do the Torah according to that explanation. What is the necessity for the Rambam to go on and say that we were commanded to keep the Torah according to the mitzvah? So I'll try and get back to that point also. So the first thing we want to do is that the Rambam is using a very careful set of terminology here in this discussion. The Rambam finishes up and he says, Mitzvah zuhi anikris Torah shebal peh. This mitzvah, described as the commentary here, is what we call Torah shebal peh. You see, it is very clear, and the Rambam makes it explicit, that there are not only two sections of Torah. It is not Torah shebichtav and Torah shebal peh. If you turn the page,
in the end, really what the Rambam did was take the Gemara and organize it. Isn't most or everything that he wrote come from the Gemara?
Everything that he writes comes from the Gemara, but not everything from the Gemara is found in the Rambam. Now, it's not actually true that everything the Rambam says is from the Gemara. The Rambam does bring sometimes things that are things from the Gaonim, but that's a very, very small minority. But yeah, for the most part, the Rambam is meant to be codifying the Gemara. But that does not flip around to mean that therefore everything from the Gemara is in the Rambam. Right? There are thousands of pages of the Gemara.
Right. When there's a machloket, he chooses one of the opinions.
Right.
To put in his say.
Right. And he leaves out the reasoning, he leaves out the back and forth. He almost entirely leaves out drushas, and they're, you know, very, on very rare occasions, the Rambam will include in the Mishneh Torah what the drasha that led to the halach is, and usually when that happens, commentaries will try and figure out why he included it, because it's not the normal thing for him to do.
But what I'm getting at is that when he says this is the Torah Shebaal Peh, it's not like he made up his own Torah. It's not like he just pulled Torah Shebaal Peh out of thin air. It came from Mesorah.
Yeah, for sure.
Really, that really did go back to Moshe Rabbeinu.
Certainly, yes.
But like we said, he picked his own Shitos when it came to Machlokas.
I don't know if I would say he picked his own, but meaning...
Well, he chose what he thought was the best.
The best, or he had different rules based on which he had conclusions, some of which come from the Gemara itself, right?
When we say Torah Shabbat, are we just referring to the halachic part of Torah Shabbat?
So let's turn to the next page. So let's turn to the next page, and we'll see the Rambam himself clarifies very clearly that there are three parts of Torah. The Rambam, this is in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Av, Halacha Yud Aleph. The Rambam writes, the Rambam was describing that an obligation to learn Torah day and night, not all day and all night, but every day and every night. And the Rambam says that, you know, that there were Gedolei Yisrael of those Chachamim of the Gemara who they had parnasa, they had a job, and they were still their primary involvement was in the Torah, but they had a parnasa also. There's nothing against that, and so then you have to balance your learning and your working, and the Rambam writes that if you're going to be figuring out how to divide up your learning, so what do you do? And the Rambam writes, "V'chayiv l'shalish ezman limidaso." You have to split up into thirds in the time of your learning. Shlish b'Torah shebichsav. One third should be in Torah shebichsav. The shlish b'Torah shebal peh, and one third should be in Torah shebal peh. It seems like we finished the whole Torah now. So what are you doing with the last third? The shlish yavin v'yaskil achras davar meirishi. So the third should be dedicated to understanding how you got from the beginning to the end, how you got from the starting point to the conclusion. V'yotzi davar midavar, and you should extrapolate from one thing to another. V'yidma davar v'davar, and compare one thing to another. V'yadin b'midos ha-Torah nidreshes b'hen, and you should evaluate things with the 13, he didn't say 13, but he said with the different methods that we have of darshaning the Torah. How, until you know what is the primary points that come out, the heach yotzia iser v'mutter, and how did the what is permitted and what is forbidden come out? How did that get out of the starting point? The kiyotzia be'en midvarm shalom and mipiyashua, and the same thing with what you learn through Masorah. That which you learned from your Rebbe, that you have to understand, where did that come from? What, how did he get there? How did he arrive at that conclusion? And based on how he got to the conclusion, what things are comparable? What are other results of that same concept that come out? And says the Rambam, the inyan zeh hu hanikra Talmud. In some texts of the Rambam, instead of Talmud, it says Gemara, but Gemara and Talmud are synonyms. So, but it says, and this idea is what's called Talmud or called Gemara, right? Says the Rambam, there are three things. There's Torah shebichsav, there's Torah shebal peh, and then there's Talmud / Gemara. And says the Rambam, when I wrote my Sefer, I wrote for you all of Torah shebal peh. I did not write for you all of Torah that is not Torah shebichsav. What I gave you is Torah shebal peh. And that's what we have when we say you can have all of Torah. When we say you can have all of Torah shebal peh, we are talking about not about the limitless, endless discussion, the ideas of how all the new comparisons and new conclusions that are come up with everything, and when new shilas come up and new things come up, how that those things, that's limitless, that's endless. There's no soap to that. But there is a finite body which is called the Torah shebal peh, which includes, we'll hopefully see as we go on through the introduction exactly what that includes, and try, and that's going to be somewhat of the focus here, is what is Torah shebal peh, but includes certainly the things that Hashem told Moshe, the halachos and the explanations of the mitzvos of the Torah that Hashem told Moshe. That is the Torah shebal peh, and that's the Sefer Hayad, the book of Mishneh Torah, is the entirety of the mitzvos as they are applied, is the perush, the commentary that the Torah shebichsav gives to the mitzvos in telling you how to carry out the mitzvos. And so we could already really go back and answer most of our questions, but just to see, this idea is really something which is not just an arbitrary distinction. There are halakhic ramifications for what is the Torah shebichsav and what is not Torah shebichsav. I'm sorry, what is Torah shebal peh and what is not Torah shebal peh? Were you about to ask something? Okay, fine.
I missed one point. You said the three were Torah Shabbat Pet, and then the third was Gemara and Mishnah?
Was Gemara slash Talmud.
That's not considered Torah Shabbat Pet. So that
is not what the Rambam calls Torah Shabbat Pet. Torah Shabbat Pet is specifically, as we'll see hopefully more clearly, Torah Shabbat Pet is specifically the explanation of the mitzvos, is the instructions of how to carry out the mitzvos. There are other things which have to do with Torah and have to do with the mitzvos and things like that. But for example, why is it that if someone drops an object and it doesn't have a simin, that you don't have to return it? So the fact that you don't have to return a lost object with no simon, so that is Torah about that. Halacha, that's how do I apply the mitzvah of returning a lost object? So there are a list of halachos, a list of details of how you perform that mitzvah. Why is it that if something doesn't have a simon, that I then don't have to return it? That's already getting into, that's no longer Torah Shabbat Peh. That is now Talmud. That is now Gemara. That is now figuring out the reason behind it. And that reason may yield, and we'll see this more as we go on throughout over the next months, but that those reasons, the logic behind it may yield more Torah Shabbat Peh. You might come out with more ramifications of halacha based on that. But the halacha, the ramifications of halacha, that's Torah Shabbat Peh. The logic and the reasoning behind it, the discussion, the davar mitoch davar, the extrapolation and trying to figure out, are these two things comparable, or maybe there's some distinction between them that I can't assume what's true over here is true over there. All of that is not what the Rambam, and we'll see later, not what the Gemara itself describes as Torah Shabbat Peh, or as the instructions of how to carry out the Mishnah, how to carry out the mitzvahs. And so Torah Shabbat Peh is a very defined term, and it's something which Torah Shabbat Peh is a very defined scope. There's a defined category which is called this is Torah Shabbat Peh, and nothing and it doesn't go beyond that. And that's the what the Rambam is trying to do for us here, is put into one place everything which is called Torah Shabbat Peh. There is much more than that to Talmud Torah, and there is a mitzvah of learning. The mitzvah of learning Torah is fulfilled through more than just the narrow category of Torah Shabbat Peh. But it is clear in the Rambam, and we'll see, and really coming from a Gemara, that their Torah Shabbat Peh is not the term used to describe everything which is not Torah Shabbat Peh, not in the written Torah. Okay, so if you turn the page, the Rambam here has Hilchos Talmud Torah. This is the very first halacha in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Aleph Aleph. So the Rambam writes that Nashim and Avadim, women and servants, are exempt from the mitzvah Talmud Torah. That does not mean that they don't fulfill a mitzvah Talmud Torah if they do learn, but they don't have the obligation of Talmud Torah. Aval katan aviv chayav ruam no Torah. But a child is chayav in Talmud Torah because his father has an obligation to teach him Torah. Shenemar v'limanitem osamas v'neichem v'daber ba. Skipping to halacha gimel, the Rambam says, v'chayav liskor melamed livno ruam do. A person, if they cannot teach their son themselves, is obligated to hire someone, to pay someone to do it for them. And now the Rambam says, Mishalo, in the middle section here, underline, Mishalo lamdo aviv, chayev lamed as achavu. Someone whose father did not teach them is obligated to teach themselves, kishayakir, when they get to the mature enough age to recognize this responsibility. Shenemar v'limanitem osam v'shamartem lasosam, that you should teach them and you should keep them. So the Rambam here, that's the drush from the Gemara, but the Rambam is saying something here, saying that if your father did not teach you, then you have an obligation to make sure that you taught it yourself, which means if your father did teach you, you do not have an obligation to learn it. Your to make sure that you are taught, that it is taught to you, to make sure that you learn it. Which means that there is some point at which you could have already be done, right? If we were talking about just learning all of Torah and there's no end to it, so you can't say, "Oh, my father already taught me everything. I have nothing left to do." The Rambam is describing something here where there is a scope and a limit and an end to the amount that you are chayav, that you are obligated to make sure that you are taught, where the point where you would have to pay someone else to teach you. You could have that covered. It could be done already. And what exactly is the Rambam talking about? So skipping down to the bottom section here, yeah.
I don't understand how the pasuk at the end relates to
how
the pasuk of limadatem osom shmartem osom, that to me seems to be going on the father, not the kid. You're saying that if the father can't teach you, then the kid has to do it on his own. And you learn that from this pasuk, limadatem osom shmartem osom. Doesn't that pasuk say, what does that tell me? Does it mean you should teach them and you should do the mitzvahs?
Right. So
that's on the father, that's not on the son.
Right. So one of the things that's difficult in when the Rambam does bring drashos, which he does not do very often, is that the Rambam, even when he does bring them, almost never quotes the way in which the Gemara itself interpreted the pasuk, or how the Gemara used that verse to arrive at the conclusion it's arriving at. He just kind of, you know, does a little excerpting for you. And so the Gemara there kind of learns that just as you have to teach, that limadatem osam ushmartem lasosam means that the father has an obligation to teach them and to know how to do them. So the father's obligation to know how to do them is separate from the obligation to teach them. I mean, just as the father has an obligation to teach them, he has an obligation to make sure he himself knows how to do them. So that means that...
That's how the father...
Hold on a second. So that means that independent of his having been taught them, he has to know how to do them, because the father himself should have been taught by his father, right? But the Torah is saying that aside from the obligation to teach your child and make sure that he knows it, you have an obligation to make sure you yourself know, independent of having been taught. So the verse is understood as teaching two independent responsibilities. They obviously will go together, but the pasuk is telling you that there is an obligation to teach the Torah, and there is an independent obligation to know how to keep the mitzvos. So,
okay, I mean, but it sounds like that obligation doesn't come about until you're a father.
No, so I think the understanding is, I mean,
so when you're a father, then you have to know the mitzvos.
The first thing is, this pasuk doesn't say anything about children.
Right, exactly. That's part of the point.
Well, no, I'm saying so. Well, where do you see anything about being a father in this pasuk?
Well, teach
that.
Who are the teaching? Who are you teaching?
I don't know. I mean, as long as we're taking a very extended view here, it could be teaching anyone, right? Teaching that, which is actually the halacha, is that if there is someone who wants you to teach them, whether or not they're your child, whether or not you have children, whether or not you're married, whether that you have an obligation to teach anyone who wants to learn from you. But more basically than that, I think that the very reasonable assumption is that if I have an obligation to make sure that I know the mitzvos regardless of whether or not I was taught them, that there's no reason that that should be depend on your age or your marital status or your familial status or anything like that. That if the Torah is saying that you have an obligation to teach the Torah and you have an obligation to know the Torah, and those two things, that there's no reason one should depend on... Well, obviously, if you teach the Torah, then the other person will know the Torah and will not need to teach it to themselves. But there is a responsibility that a person has to know the Torah themselves. Well, we're getting a little bit off topic here. So the Rambam is describing some body of knowledge that you could have covered. It could be covered by the time you get to the age where you realize you need to know, you already know it. So what's the Rambam talking about here? You skip down to Halacha Zayin, and the Rambam says... In a place where the custom is to teach Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah, and get paid for it, you're allowed to get paid for teaching it there. about Torah Shabbat, but the oral Torah, Torah Shabbat, also Lalamda Bespard, is prohibited to teach that for pay. Shenamar, Re'elamadi Yestem, Chukim, Mishpatim, Kasher, Tzivani, Yisham, Okai. Ma'ani Bechinam Limati, just as I have taught you, just as I, Moshe, have taught you for free. Avatem Bechinam Limatatem Mimeni. So too, and you have learned it for free from me, so too when it is being taught and passed on to future generations should be done for free. Just like you learned it from me, free of charge, I didn't expect anything from you to teach you. So too, says Moshe, so too, when you teach the next generation, you should also be doing that without any expectation from them.
So we don't pass like this.
Well, so we do paskin like this, but there is, we go on and see that there is a lot of not, at the end of the day, they basically apply as loopholes, but they're not really loopholes, they're really more defining of what, basically, the basic idea is that
it's a necessity like pro school.
The basic idea is that there's something called skar batala, which is that a person has the if I don't have the expectation to get paid for teaching, but I have the understanding that I could be doing something else. And at the end of the day, if you're not paying me for teaching you, at the end of the day, that you do need to reimburse me for the fact that I could be doing something much more lucrative. So someone who is a full-time teacher, so you can say, listen, I'm teaching full-time, and that it is, and that is a need of nowadays. And therefore, I should starve because I'm not getting a job to support my family because I'm teaching. So there is a...
What about a tutor at night?
A tutor at night is a better question. I don't really think there's...
I can go get back all the money that I've given for the last 2 or 3 years. like, how did
isn't
you
it,
get
isn't
my
it
money
that,
for tutoring
that,
my
that you're paying the tala is that the person has to prepare by making copies at every action that they do in order to come to the class.
Right, so there's a lot of it is the skar batala, the paying for what they could be doing otherwise. But as we're discussing right now, an important caveat is that at least in the way the Rambam is presenting it, that which it is forbidden to teach for skar is only the Torah Shebaal Peh. But we just saw that there's another category, which is not Torah Shebaal Peh, which is called Talmud. And Talmud is not part of this, which the Rambam says. It's only that part which the Rambam said you are obligated to teach your kid, and you are obligated to make sure you know if your father didn't teach you. That is where you have an obligation to know, and discharging that obligation, you are not allowed to take payment to teach someone else that part of the Torah that they're obligated to know in the Torah Shebaal Peh. But if you're hiring a tutor to help your kids study for their Gemara test, most of that is not Torah Shebaal Peh. Most of that is Gemara and not Torah Shebaal Peh, and that there would not be a...
Is Rabbah? I mean, I've never heard of this before. The Gemara is not considered Torah Shebaal Peh. Is this only the Rabbah that says this, or is this like a widely accepted thing?
So we'll see in a moment that the Gemara itself makes this distinction. If you turn the page, the Gemara itself, and this is, well, maybe just to understand, appreciate this, before we read this, we'll go back to the first page, the Rambam. The Rambam quoted for us a drasha at the beginning of the introduction, right? The Rambam said, all the mitzvahs were given with their explanation, shenamar, as it says, and he quoted a pasuk, the esna, lucha, es lucha, se evan, va torah, va mitzvah. And then he quoted it, then he went through the explanation as follows, Torah zu Torah shebichsav, mitzvah zu perusha, right? So the Rambam here is paraphrasing a Gemara in Brachos on Daf Hey, and that's the Gemara here. Gemara says, Va'amar Rabbi Levi Bar Chama, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Mai dechsiv va'etzna lacha es luchos evan va'torah va'mitzvah, Asher kasati laharosam, that's the pasuk that the Rambam quoted, Luchos elu aseret dibros. The luchos in the pasuk is the aseret dibros, 10 commandments as we call them. Torah zem mikra. Torah is scripture. The mitzvah zu mishnah. The mitzvah is the mishnah. Asher kasafti elu neviim uksuvim. Lohorosam zu zegemara. So says the Gemara itself, we have one thing called Hamitzah, which is the Mishnah, which is the list of the, if you read Mishnayos, Mishnayos are the halachos of the Torah. And then you have another category called Lehorosam, which is the Gemara. So there are two separate categories, one called Mishnah and one called Gemara. And that's what the Rambam is translating into the Torah Shebaal Peh and the Talmud. You have one thing which is the list of halachos of how you read the Mishnah. The Mishnah is always just, what do I do to keep the mitzvos? It is the description of how to do the mitzvah. And then you have the Gemara, which is the background about how did they get there, resolving contradictions, explaining why one case is or isn't different to another. And that's Gemara. That's something else entirely. So this distinction, which the Rambam is calling Torah Shebaal Peh and Gemara or Talmud, is really just his rephrasing of the Talmud itself, making this distinction between Mishnah and Gemara. So, I want to just, if we go back to the beginning, one last point, we're running out of time, I wanted to make one last point and then one other last point. But basically, the question we asked at the beginning, what is the Rambam telling us? This is the mitzvah is the commentary, and we are commanded to do the Torah according to the commentary. The Rambam is explaining what is the idea of the mitzvah. We have two. We have in this drasha we have Torah zut et nachalukos emra Torah v'amitzvah, and the mitzvah is the commentary of the Torah. Says the Rambam, what does it mean that the mitzvah is the perush of the Torah? That the mitzvah, which is what the Rambam is describing as Torah Shebaal Peh, is the description based on which we perform the Torah, right? It is v'tzivanu lasos haTorah al pi haMitzvah. We are commanded to do the Torah according to the mitzvah. The mitzvah is what enables you to carry out the Torah. The Torah is the list of mitzvos. How do I do those mitzvos? That's the mitzvah, which means that there's much more commentary or description that we have as a Masorah, as an oral tradition, but the only thing which is the mitzvah is that which explains how to do the Torah, how to carry out the Torah. And that's the distinction between Mishnah and Gemara. Mishnah is halachos. Mishnah is chayiv, pater, aser, mutter, tamei, tahor. That's what the Mishnah is. It is the list of how do I apply the mitzvos. And then on top of that, we have the Gemara, which is explaining all of the logic behind it and all of the reasoning behind it. And I think it's that's exactly what the Rambam is seeing, that the Mishnah is the Torah Shebaal Peh. That when the Gemara in Brachos said, Da Mitzvah, Zua Mishnah, that the Mishnah is how the Torah becomes something which is applicable. It's how the Torah becomes something which we can apply. We discussed actually when we did in the Yud Gimel Ikrim, when we did the eighth Ikr, which includes in it the Torah Shebaal Peh, that those who wanted to ignore the Torah, that did not come along and say that the Torah is fake, that the Chumash is fake, they came along and they said that the Torah Shebaal Peh is fake. Because if you come along and you say that the Torah Shebaal Peh is unreliable, all of a sudden the Torah can mean whatever you want it to mean. The Mishnah is what gives the Torah a tzura, what gives the Torah a form that you are able to perform it, to apply it. It's only once I have something saying, there's this mitzvah called tefillin. What is it? Oh, well, we have a whole parak in Menachos telling us exactly what tefillin are supposed to look like, how you make them, what they are. That's the point at which tefillin becomes something which can then be done. The mitzvah is that which gives the explanation of how do I apply the Torah. And that is the body of knowledge which is a person is obligated to know, a person is chayav to learn Torah Shebaal Peh, is obligated to know all of how do I apply the Torah. And that's, once a person learns that, so now there's still always more to learn, and there's a mitzvah Talmud Torah, but that's the extent of what a person is obligated to learn. And I didn't put it in the sources, I thought I did, but now that we're done here and I see that I didn't, that the Rambam actually describes, actually I did put it in, I just didn't underline it, that the Rambam puts in that after a person has learned the Torah Shebaal Peh, a person should not spend most of their time on Torah Shabbat, Shabbat Stop, or Torah Shabbat Peh. You should review occasionally Torah Shabbat Peh to make sure you don't forget it, and you should spend most of your time on Gemara, says the Rambam. You should spend most of your time in knowing the underlying thought behind the Gemara such that when new things come up, you'll know how to apply the knowledge that you have. The important, just to put things in, try to discuss a lot here, and I don't know if hopefully in the coming weeks things will become more clear exactly what's going on, but the Torah Shabbat Peh is very important to know exactly what it is. There are ramifications. What are you chayiv to know? You're chayiv to know Torah Shabbat Peh. So what is Torah Shabbat Peh? You have to know. What is the, when I'm learning, what should I be spending my time on? I have to know what's Torah Shabbat Sav and what's Torah Shabbat Peh and what's not Torah Shabbat Peh. When the Rambam says at the end of the introduction that you have my Sefer and you have the Torah Shabbat Peh, and you have the Chumash and my Sefer, and you've got the Torah Shabbat Sav and Torah Shabbat Peh, and you don't need anything else between, the Rambam is not saying, and therefore throw out your Gemara, it's no longer necessary. The Rambam is saying that Chelek of Torah, which is the Torah Shabbat Peh, if you want to have, what do I need to know? How do I have Bahabiti El Kol Mitzvosecha, knowing the entirety of the mitzvah, which is the part of the Torah that I need to know in order to apply the Torah and the mitzvos? That's what the Mishnah Torah is. The Mishnah Torah is one sefer which encompasses all of that chelek of Torah called Torah Shabbat Peh. Does it encompass what the Rambam himself said is the primary chelek of Torah that you should be spending your time on, the part called Gemara? Says the Rambam, no, that's not what I'm writing about. I am codifying for you here what is Torah Shabbat Peh, and that's therefore the Rambam is going to go through. The Rambam wrote a sefer called the Mishnah Torah, which is codifying the Torah Shabbat Peh. How did the Rambam, how do we know what belongs in Torah Shabbat Peh and what does not? That is what the purpose of this introduction is. The introduction here is explaining how the different parts of Torah, how the different aspects of Torah are defined and categorized in the way they are, and that's essential to know in order to understand what belongs in the Sefer and what doesn't, what belongs in my obligation to know and what doesn't. All right, well, we'll continue more with these ideas.